Welcome to Reinvention Ready, where you can ignite your fires of possibility and discover how to make the rest of your life your best life. I'm Janie Genosis, and I am so delighted today to introduce you to my guest, Dr. Ali McDermott. Ali has an amazing story to tell. She is an international book publisher, award-winning global leader, international best-selling published author, motivational coach, and she has done some major pivoting to reinvent her life. She used to be a lawyer, has been and still is a college professor, and is also the CEO and founder of Pen Crown Publishing, helping authors share their stories to make an impact and leave their legacy. She is also the CEO and founder of McDermott Leadership, where she helps people define and redefine their purpose to lead the life of their dreams. Ali, welcome to Reinvention Ready. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited too. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Yeah, and you have a background that blew me away. I mean, you've been a lawyer, you've been a college professor, you still are a college professor. Actually, you're still teaching college kids, and you have a publishing company that you just started less than a year ago. And you have a great story about how all that happened and how you've made some pretty remarkable changes in your life. So let's just start with that, if that's good with you.
Of course, of course. You know, I frame last year and the year before really as the most transformative of my life. I've been in so many different careers, you know, and I thought and reflected, you know, last year and the year before about, you know, the meaning of those careers and what I could do. And really, I pivoted because I left a pretty toxic marriage. I was married for more than half my life. So 25 years is a long time. And then when you kind of get an opportunity to show up differently in the world, you take a step back and you examine, okay, what is it that I can do? What is it that I want to be? What's my vision for my beautiful life? At least that's what I did. And so I looked at it more, you know, in the beginning, it was not that way, right? So I'd be remiss if I talked to people and said, hey, in the beginning, it was, you know, sunshine and roses. But once I gained a little bit of perspective, I thought, okay, now is an opportunity for me to show up differently. You know, what is it that I want for myself? You know, what is it, you know, what's my vision here? And because I had done so many different things, I really examined the roles I took at different points in my life, you know, why I took them, how they contributed to who I was, how I showed up in the world. And I was really able to plan out with intention what I wanted to see for myself, right? And how my skills and abilities fit, right? And there were no accidents. It was really fascinating. You know, all of the things I sort of did in my life, I loved, right? And there were reasons for doing them at the time I did them, certainly. But as I looked at the path that I wanted to take, I thought, you know, this is really how I want things to go now for me. This is how I'm going to show up in the world, and I'm going to do it unapologetically now.
I love that. And I love that you say there were no accidents. And I think a lot of people beat themselves up over what's happened in the past or the choices that they made that maybe they look back and wish they hadn't. But that's why they're where they are today. And it's what can you do today with the time that you have left to, like you said, make my beautiful life. And I love that. I love that. So what did you learn? What were some of the things you learned that you think could help other people?
You know, I think really, you know, planning, right? I think people, you know, when you're confronted with a challenge, an event, you know, something unforeseen or, you know, something that kind of jilts you off your center, you know, a lot of people, you know, even through COVID lost their jobs, were laid off. And certainly I'm 50 years old, right? And so I thought, oh goodness, what now, right? Do I look for a corporate job? Do I look for, you know, financial security, stability? You know, which of my roles really, you know, I could go back and be an attorney. I thought about that a lot because I practiced law for 10 years, but there was a reason I left the practice of law when I did. You know, I thought, okay, you know, do I take more jobs teaching? You know, and that was fulfilling for me. But I, you know, I left that role for a reason, right? I love retail. Right. That's how I started my life. But there was a reason I left that. Right. And so in examining everything, there's a difference between like fear and anxiety. Right. And looking at, you know, when you're sort of mired in sort of the muck of, you know, really fear. I mean, so, you know, kind of getting more personal, you know, when everything was upended for me during the year, it was, how can I make money now? How can I support myself? How can I support my kids, right? And so when, you know, everything sort of seems to be crashing down, you know, I don't think you make great decisions, right? So you need to take a step back and really look at sort of the big picture, right? Don't just take a short-term opportunity. You know, if you have to, you have to. It depends on people's economics, but really look at what you want for yourself, your vision for your life. And so, you know, I really thought a lot about, you know, what it was that I wanted to do, my path, and really took steps to get there. And again, you know, when we're confronted with, you know, things that seemingly seem unforeseen, right? That's not a great sentence, but, you know, challenges, traumas, events, you know, you're laid off, you know, you get demoted, or, you know, things just change. You know, we tend to, or I tend to go, okay, panic sets in, you know, what do I need to do now? But that's a reaction and not a response. You know, response requires forethought, intention. And so I think with more planning, more forethought, you know, you can have the life of your dreams with, you know, the ability to just take a step back.
I love talking about response versus reaction. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us, especially when we're in any kind of situation that we're sort of thrown into, not what we had hoped, the first thing is to react. You know, I went through the same thing. I lost a job of 13 years in 2020. And it's like, you know, my self-worth, it shouldn't be surrounded by your job, but in a sense it is. It's like how much money you make, what your title is, all of those things just came crashing down. And it was the second time it happened to me. And so I look back, and fortunately I've always been a self-help junkie and read those kind of books, but I started teaching yoga and started really reading yogic philosophy, which talks a lot about that. And it helps you kind of calm yourself down. And I was able to find a place where I could sit down and say, okay, this has happened to me now twice. Maybe I'm supposed to go a different direction. And this is the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, this way of pointing me, pushing me, giving me sometimes a swift kick in the butt a different way, you know, but it was hard. I mean, it's hard not to, you know, and sometimes you have to just cry. And like you say, sometimes you have to take something temporarily. If it's financial, you have to make sure you can keep a roof over your head and you have kids, feed your kids or your dog, or, you know, you have to do those things, but know that that's not the be all end all.
I love that you said that, because, you know, people talk about the universe, religion or whatever, but redirecting, because I have so many leaders I speak to say, I've applied to 10 jobs and I'm just not getting them, you know, and they're thinking about starting a consultancy, for example. Well, there's a reason you're not getting a job, right? Maybe your direction is to start your consultancy, right? Mm-hmm. And so paying attention to signs like that, I think, is so important too, right? It's just, you know, taking that leap, making, you know, taking a risk is really daunting. Yeah. It's, you know, but sometimes, you know, the difference between you today and you 3 months from now is whether you have a consultancy, right? So that's the difference.
Right. And going into what you also talked about on your website was leaving a legacy.
Right.
And
Right.
it's, you know, as we get older, we're not going to be here forever, and we have a limited amount of time. And a lot of times, you know, you think it's about, oh, having a great job or a great title or a fancy career or a big house. Then you start to realize, no, maybe that's not at all what it's about. And what is that legacy? And so what does that mean to you? I'd love to hear your take on that.
What's a legacy? So interestingly, for me, it's really what you think about yourself and what you want to leave behind in the world, right? And for everybody, it's a little bit different. And for me, you know, I'm so service oriented. I have three core values, integrity, authenticity, and service. And so what I would love to be remembered for is really just having an impact on one person. And so everything I do, even if it's leaving my house, I smile at the neighbor. If I'm at a gas pump, you know, I smile at someone who, you know, is pumping their gas. As a researcher, I know that my smile can change their day. And if it changes their day, they can change, you know, their circle of influence. And the effect is, you know, a new, you know, it's just immeasurable. And so for me, it's just having an impact on one person with my behavior, my attitude, my words, and it's an everyday thing, right? It doesn't have to be these massive, sweeping, huge motions. And I think people think, you know, legacy is such a big, big thing, right? It's a big project. It's a huge undertaking. It can just be a hug. And literally just be a smile. And so for me, it's an everyday thing.
That's great, because anybody can do that.
Right.
We don't have to be Bill Gates, you know, right, and leave some big corporate gift. You know, I mean, a gift can be a smile or a hug or just a kind word sometimes,
right,
to people, you know, being nice to them in line, you know, maybe let somebody cut in front of you when they only have one item could make their afternoon. Driving. You know, think about how rude some people are when they're driving, and be
right,
the person to let somebody in, be the person to, you know, not flip somebody off when they
right,
do.
exactly.
Sometimes it's what we don't do too.
Exactly. That's the response and not react, right?
Yes.
Going back to that. Right. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And another thing I think when, and I know you help leaders and you work with people on a coaching basis too. And everybody, like, it's like, what's my purpose? What's
right,
my life purpose? And I think kind of along that same line, it's like, maybe there's not this great big purpose. Maybe you're not supposed to be the guy that climbs the mountain. Maybe you're the guy that just helps people, you know? And that can be hard sometimes, I think, for people to go, oh, that doesn't seem important, but it's important to every one of those people that you
right,
help.
And I think people also don't understand is you can have multiple purposes throughout your life, right? It's not something that people think it's some divine intervention that you're born with, you know, when you come out of the womb. Actually, purposes change throughout people's lives, right? At different moments as well. And it can depend on an environment, an event, things like, you know, different things, you know. And so it literally, like you said, can be something, you know, simple, could be something huge. You know, we don't have to all be, you know, Elon Musk, you know. And I think that's really important for people to understand too.
Yeah, it gives people a lot of hope, I think.
Absolutely.
Too. And so I'm curious, in your background and in your past, when you went back to look at things, what helped you to see that they happen for a reason or a purpose? What, maybe give an example or something that, you know, can kind of help people understand that.
You know, I did so much forensic sort of work, partly because, you know, I was going through a massive divorce, right? And part of it was truly kind of required in a way. You know, we were going through litigation and things like that. But, you know, when you're with someone for 25 years, I was with my ex for more than half my life. And I realized that, you know, I wasn't showing up the way that I wanted to show up, right, in the world. And so in sort of examining, how I wanted to show up differently, just, you know, as an individual, you know, and with different identities, which is fascinating too. You know, age is chronological to me. You know, you are what you believe. And, you know, there were different things that I, you know, decided for myself, different mantras as well. You know, how I would tolerate, you know, behaviors, for example, how I knew that I could only control my own behavior, no one else's. You know, there were just certain things that I came to understand, certain things that I researched, because I was truly in a state of despair, right? Crying on the bathroom floor. You know, I was tackling an undiagnosed chronic medical condition at the same time. You know, they were testing me for MS, and just like the world was crashing down at, you know, all at once. And so, you know, in sort of really taking a step back, and as a researcher, you know, I looked at, you know, who am I identity wise as a career woman? You know, who am I identity wise as a mother? You know, who am I identity wise eventually, you know, as a romantic partner, right? You know, and how do those kind of fit together? Because I don't believe in duplicity, right? I believe in authenticity. And for a long time, and I published in Fearless Female Leaders, you know, my students at USC had no idea what was happening at home. I would just show up happy and whole and all of that. And so really when I published, it was sort of an apology to them because I preached this idea of authenticity and all this kind of stuff. And they had no idea what was going on at home, right? And so in kind of examining all the identities I had and how could they fit together and, you know, what were my core values and who was I and all of that kind of thing, you know, I looked at, you know, all the career roles I had, you know, why they made sense at the time I took them, the skills and abilities that I gained from them, and how there were no accidents for me, you know, the growth that I gained from them, and what could they now become and help me become, you know, and the gifts really that they were. And that's why I'm doing what I do now, because and I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah.
that answered it.
And as I'm thinking about this, you know, you have this impressive pedigree of education, you know, with your law degree and your it's just things that a lot of people maybe don't have, you know, but that let's talk to those people a little bit, because I think they go, well, you know, she was a lawyer, she's got all this education, she can go be a college, but she's got all these choices. But I just worked at the same place for 30 years in the bookkeeping department, and now my husband's leaving me, or my wife's leaving, or whatever, you know, all of a sudden they find themselves in this situation with less choice, less money, less, you know. How would somebody, like, what would you say to somebody like that, you know, that's dealing with it with less options?
Well, I would say to them, I'm not leveraging, I mean, so I'm not a lawyer and I have a law degree. I mean, I could be, but I mean, what I'm doing now is not leveraging my degrees, right? Like, it's leveraging the skills and abilities that I obtained. Mm-hmm. I would also say to them, there are so many opportunities right now for open learning that if you want to pivot to do literally just about anything, you can. I go on the internet, I research every single day because there's something that sparks my interest and I'm like, oh, I want to know more about that, right? And so if you want to do something different, you don't have to pay $1 billion to go do it. There are certificate programs if you want it to lead to something formal, and they're really inexpensive, but you can learn whatever you want out there. So pivoting right now, super easy. It's just, there's so much knowledge. Knowledge is different than information, right? Mm-hmm. Information is just facts, but there's so much knowledge out there on the internet for you to absorb. You can literally do anything. So I would say to people, don't stay stuck. If your dream job is to do X, Y, or Z, it's out there for you. Go get it.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. And you're right. You can, I forget which, is it Harvard or somebody has free classes. I mean, you don't get a degree, but you could say, I took these classes. And
Right.
I think people, you know, people need to keep seeing those possibilities and not feel, I love that, you know, not feel stuck, and you can pivot. And even like I'm 60, so I got, you know, and it's like I keep thinking, oh, I might want to do this or I might want to do that. And sometimes I have to say, well, wait, do I really want to do that? Because I'm 60, you know, and it's like, maybe I do, maybe I don't. You know, sometimes I honestly, I forget that I, you know, I feel
Exactly.
so much younger. And it's like, well, I have probably 20, hopefully 20, maybe more good years left to do something that I love. And I don't think of like retirement as not doing anything. It's more pivoting to do what you love. And
Right.
yeah. And so it's an interesting way to think about the future. And like you say, that legacy that you want to leave, and it's not too late, no matter how old you are, to do, if something really sparks your interest and sings to your heart, give it a go. You know, what's the worst that can happen? Like you said, you know, 3 months from now, can at least say, well, I tried, you know, and it worked out, or I learned this. So, yeah.
And there are so many people as well. I mean, we are so fortunate to live in a global connected community that if you identify something you really want to do, there's someone out there who will mentor you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can bet on it, right? So, you know, go figure out what sort of resources you need, what support you need, you know, send out a message, and I can almost bet on it that someone would be willing to mentor or support you. It's just, that's how connected we are now, which, you know, that's, I guess, the beauty of the digital transformation, right?
Yeah.
So,
we don't have to do things alone, and it's so much easier now to find. I mean, think about dating, you know, before the internet, what did we do? We had to go to a bar. We had to ask a friend, do you know anybody? You know, you'd meet somebody from, I mean, there was no, you couldn't go on and say, I'm this and I'm looking for this. And then somebody else on the other end is, I'm this and I'm looking for this. And like, oh, you're a 90% match. You know, I mean, it's like, it's become, and I, you know, I've been married for 30 plus years. So it's like, I haven't dated in such a long time, but I have a lot of friends who have really found success and have great new partners because of the internet. And it used to be, you know, if you were too old, whether they used to say like, by the time you were 30 or now probably 40, oh, you're never going to find a mate, but that's not true either. So I think we're shattering all these, and looking at both of us with our long hair too. And I remember when I was in my 20s, there was a guy named Jose Iber. And his book was called Shake Your Head, Darling.
Right.
And he was on one of the talk shows, and he said, once you're 30 years old, ladies, you should not have long hair. And he's sitting there with a cowboy hat on and very long hair of his. I'm like, uh-uh. You know? And I think it's great that we're shattering some of these myths. And, you know, it's like, you don't have to be old. You can choose to be whatever you want to be, no matter how old you are anymore. It's, you get to create yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The online dating world's different for sure.
And maybe you have some advice for older folks and people who have been out of it for a long time. What's your experience? Cause I know nothing about this.
So I obviously, being married for more than half my life, you know, I've dipped my toe into online dating, especially because, you know, I don't do bars and things like that, right? And because my schedule's so busy, and, you know, I have girls at home and things like that, I thought, oh, okay, this will be interesting. It is interesting, right? There are different platforms that you can join. I'm very data oriented. So, you know, I tried, you know, one platform that seemed to sort of say, you know, we'll match you, and that was not successful. The one platform that I would say has been okay has been a platform called Bumble. And it really drives the idea that women sort of are in charge of the match. And I don't know if you're familiar with Bumble.
That's the one where the woman reaches out, right?
So sort of, but like, I hope I can explain, because I've done it for all of 2 weeks, but you know, I gave
you know more than me. So
yeah. So I gave myself really an entire year after, you know, my, you know, initial separation to just work on myself, make myself whole, you know, that kind of thing. Because I knew for me, being married for that long, I had a lot of things that I wanted to do for myself. I wasn't about to jump back into a relationship and stuff like that. So, you know, when the year came around, I'm like, okay, you know, let's see what's going on, right? So with Bumble, you know, everyone creates their profile, and then, you know, men, you know, or a partner or whomever, you know, comes in and they like you, mm-hmm. and then you select whether you get matched or not. The women do, which is fascinating to me because sort of the women control the process, mm-hmm. You know? And so I think, you know, for some women that's, you know, attractive. And for me, it was. Mm-hmm. So that's been an interesting process. For a couple of reasons. And of course, people know me when, because I've spoken on, you know, podcasts before. I'm incredibly vulnerable. So you know, there are a lot of, connections that I've made, I'll say, where it's, let's just meet right away. And I'm like, no, right? Like, because I have to be very intentional with who I'm bringing into my life, because mm-hmm. I have twins at home.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just about a picture and a couple of words, right? And so, you know, there's that sort of element. And then, you know, on the profile, you only get a couple of descriptors, right? Like, you know, very minor. And so for me, it's about making sure there's a connection first, you know, an understanding. So I've not met anybody face to face yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm super slow about it. But I know I'm the blocker. Yeah. Right. And so I haven't quite made the mental and emotional transition yet. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's got, and after 25 years, I mean, I'm sure you learned a lot in your, mm-hmm. I had a marriage that I went through a divorce when I was very young, and I learned so much, and we were married about 3 years, and I knew exactly what I didn't want, I guess would be the best way to put it, you know, and so it's you learn, you just keep growing, and I'm excited for you. You maybe I'll have to have you on again when you're, yeah. you know, more experienced with that, and we can talk about that.
Yes, I think I'd be more successful on probably like a show or something, because I don't know if I'll be able to make the transition. We'll see. I don't know.
You have a lot to offer, and you just have to find the person who has a lot to offer you. You know, it has to go both ways. So
thank you.
Yeah. And I wanted to talk too, you know, we didn't, sure. you brought it up briefly. You've been through a lot medically.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as people get older, they start to deal with things that are difficult to change or maybe not changeable. And can you share a little bit, you don't have to go into deep details about your medical situation, but maybe what you've learned from that, how you have changed that from reaction to response as you deal with it in your life?
For sure. So that is a challenge, you know, because as we do get older, right, things do change in our bodies. And one of the things I decided to do was get my certificate in integrative health and nutrition, because I realized there was a huge mind-body connection. And it sounds a lot like, you know, with you sort of focusing on yoga and, mm-hmm. you know, mindfulness and stuff like that too. But I realized through research, you know, much of my research, wow, cortisol, you know, plays a role. And there's a lot of things that can happen to your body. And a lot of things were happening to me during those couple of years that just didn't seem right. So I'm like, if I'm going to dig that much into this, I'm going to get a certificate in it. Right. And it was a great, great thing to have. But like I said, they were testing me for things like, you know, MS, I was stuttering, couldn't use my hands and feet, memory loss, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, in sort of partnering with different physicians, you have a physician for like every organ, you know, understanding sort of, you know, pharmaceuticals versus, you know, holistic medicine, and I've tried it all, you know, there is, you know, a place for both in my life, people have to make choices for themselves. But there is, you know, a huge for me need with respect to nutrition and diet. I'm completely gluten-free. And so I have to watch, you know, and want to watch, you know, what I'm putting in my body. Because there, you know, that has a huge impact, of course, for me. And so I started to really look at, you know, different things like that. And I think there's opportunities for people, you know, as we age to look at, you know, nutrition, diet, health, but like, but it's not just, you know, what we eat, it's, you know, how we take care of ourselves, self-care. You know, one of the things that is just so challenging for me is sleep. I know if I can nail sleep, life will be so much better. But, you know, people are talking about like the importance of meditation and, you know, the different sort of things, you know, as you look at your day, you know, your stress levels, you know, getting outside for 10 minutes, getting standing up from your desk, you know, walking away when something stressful happens. You know, I do a ton of research on something called oxytocin because that's a huge hormone, and it makes you happy, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know, how can I make myself happy? I wasn't happy for 25 years. So how can I make myself happy holistically, right? So dancing, petting a dog, watching a video, eating dark chocolate. So, right? And so, you know, really understanding the kinds of things you can do to help yourself. And so, you know, it's not just run to a doctor if something happens. Mm-hmm. It's looking at the things in your life that you have control over that you can change that don't cost anything, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to invest, you know, massive amounts of money. There are, you know, habits you can change and quick things, you know, you can do to make things better. And they're kind of fun. Like, who doesn't want to have a piece of dark chocolate? Who doesn't want to pet a dog, right? Mm-hmm. So.
That's awesome. Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I've had my own set of health issues. And I have to say, there's a place for Western medicine. There's also a place for herbs. There's a place for Eastern philosophy, like meditation. And that's if you can find the best of that combination for yourself and learn. I think it's so important for people. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet. So you have to be very careful, I think, not to be a, like some people will read something and automatically think, oh my gosh, I have a brain tumor, or I have a, you know, you have to be very careful about where you're getting your information from and get it from, see if there's different sources. I like to go and actually read medical studies when I have issues and see, okay, what's going on with this particular problem that I have and what kind of studies have been out there and what are people, because there's a lot of things within those studies where they'll use food or they'll use behavioral changes or things like that. And we have so much control over that. And if something doesn't feel right, I would say with a doctor, get a second opinion, you know, absolutely, do a little more research. I've, you know, struggled with that. I've doctors that I really listen to, and I have doctors that gave me some advice that I didn't think was right for me. And, right, you know, I'm glad I went and did some research and didn't pursue what they wanted me to do. So, you know, it's, there's a whole, we could probably do a whole show on
for sure,
pharmaceuticals and, you know, the whole making money with medicine. I mean, I think it'd be very different if all of medicine was nonprofit, you know, and
right,
maybe people could make enough money to live comfortably and, you know, but some of these pharmaceutical companies are just throwing stuff at us we don't need. And that isn't necessarily going to be good for us in the long term.
Right.
Or there's ways we can do it with diet, nutrition, meditation. We don't need drugs necessarily. So,
right. Great point.
But they're also godsends and they save us and, you know, right, they keep us from dying sometimes. So it's like, it's tough. You know, I'm not a doctor. But I always tell people, nobody knows your body better than you.
Exactly. I love that you said that. Really. Yeah. Right. And you have, for me, I have instinct too, you know, mm-hmm. when I, you know, I've gone to, I have a broken back, right? And when I say that, people go, ah, but I literally have a crack in my back. And, I went to two neurosurgeons and the second one said, we can't fix it. right? You know, we can do this, that, and this. And so I sort of live with it because I don't want to do this, that, or this, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. And so, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But there are literally things in kind of every organ, you know, that have to be sort of managed. But instead of waking up every day, looking in the mirror and saying, it's too much, I say, you know what? I'm going to stay in my lane. They got this. I'm good. Right? It's not my bailiwick. I don't have an MD, you know, and I'm not going to let it impact me. Right? And so I think it's really important for people to maintain a positive mindset, no matter what's happening medically, because, you know, I can get bad medical news kind of on a daily if I let it happen. Right? But why? Right? I'm leading a beautiful life. I'm joyful. I have my mantras. I'm good. You know, and again, I'm staying in my lane. They've got this, right? And that's their expertise and not mine. And so, you know, I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great advice. I think do you trust when you need to trust and learn what you can learn and listen to your body and listen to your instincts too. And it's the best you can do. You know, it's the best we can do. So
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. So this has been fun.
Yes.
I would love for you to tell our listeners where they can learn more about you and what are some of the things that you are offering to folks out there. Cause I know you have ways people can work with you that might be really beneficial. So
sure. Well, thank you so much. So I thrive on connectedness. And so I think the best way to reach me is probably LinkedIn. So I connect with absolutely everyone who wants to connect. And so that's by far the best way. I mean, certainly social media is fine, but I think LinkedIn is the best way. So I'm the CEO of Pen Crown Publishing, right? And McDermott Leadership. McDermott Leadership is really kind of the coaching arm, but Pen Crown Publishing is where we publish the collaborative books and all the you know, solo books for authors and things like that. And that's where we support others in sharing their message with the world with high impact so they can leave the legacy they want to leave in the world, right? We have great stories and great books coming out, which I know that you'll share with your viewers too, so I don't need to spend time there. And it's just been such a pleasure. So for me, you know, if anyone wants to connect with me for anything, you know, I spend time with them. So it's, you know, I'll spend 30 minutes with you talking about your hopes, your dreams, your desires, how you want to leave a legacy. So just book time with me and I'd be happy to connect.
Oh my gosh, that's generous. That's so generous. And your books, are you looking for stories for those books?
Absolutely. Well? Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And they're thematic, right? So we have life-changing leadership, for example, and that's for military leaders and former military leaders. We also have a book called High Altitude Leadership, and that's for pilots and former pilots. One of the books that we have is called Unforgettable Guests. My sister actually owns, you know, an inn at Palm Springs. And so one of the things that happened with hospitality during COVID was, you know, pretty difficult, right? And so in looking at the different industries and stuff like that, you know, there are a lot of amazing stories that, you know, can be shared and messages and things like that. And so, you know, so that book is for hospitality and really to share messages like that. And so, you know, there's a book called Shift, you know, for leaders to share stories on purpose and vision and so they're very thematic. And so, you know, my hope and desire is for people to want to share their messages and we'll support them. Our platform is pretty specific, right? So I, you know, help folks who want to share their messages, you know, I help them one-on-one as well. And, you know, because it's not just about becoming a best-selling published author for us, it's about the legacy piece, right? So what do you want to leave in the world?
Reminds me a little bit of the chicken soup.
A
little bit of that, but yeah, I love that you are in as a marketing person as well. They always say be really specific about who your target audience is, and I mean you're very specific with military folks, with pilots, with, you know, specific kind of leaders in hospitality. I love it. I love that it's very specific. So if anybody's listening, you know, reach out to Allie and get your story out there if you fit into one of those categories. I think that's fun, and look forward to reading some of those. So yeah.
I think one maybe difference too is we partner with nonprofit organizations too. So our authors don't get royalties from our collaborative books. We actually partner with nonprofit organizations and they get the royalties from the book. And then we also help support them on their journey. So for some of them, they want, you know, more publicity around, you know, a particular event or their mission or, you know, whatever's going on with them. And so that's also a huge difference, I think, too.
That's cool. That's cool. Nonprofits always need help, and there's so many good ones out there. So exactly. So thank you for that. Any parting words you want to leave with the audience today?
You know, so for me, again, age is chronological, right? So you are what you believe, and you can do absolutely anything you want to do in this world. So please just, you know, just know that any limitations that you can think of are ones you've put on yourself. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, Allie, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in to Reinvention Ready today. I hope you learned a lot and enjoyed listening to Allie as much as I enjoyed interviewing her. Please remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy hearing conversations like this so that we can record more and keep sharing these great guests. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Reinvention Ready. I'm Janie Genosis. Go out and make the rest of your life your best life.